This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There's a piece on Barry Bonds out right now by Andrew Baggerly that is quite interesting on the mindset and perspective of a former hero in the sport. And we have a man in studio that works with us every day that we consider the Barry Bonds whisperer. And the reason I say that, Mike, I'm going to kick you in the junk about that forever because I think that it was a big moment in your life. I get it. But that's, you know, it's a fun joke. I'm not doing anything. But I don't mean anything to hurt you.
You know what? I guess Sean asked this question during Crosstalk, and he was kind of like, if you could do it all over again, would you not give up the home run? And I've answered that question before. For some reason, I kind of drew a blank on that today because I was like, well, maybe I wouldn't have. But a lot of that led to this career that I have now, because it led to me doing a lot of interviews, doing them good enough.
You did cold pizza the next.
Well, no, I did. Well, I was doing a lot of different things throughout that 48 hours after the home run.
Okay.
But then as soon as the season ended, I was doing cold pizza and I did a Baseball Tonight segment. I was in Bristol, Connecticut. And so did good enough there that people here in Dallas, Fort Worth recognized it. So they knew when my baseball career is over that I might have a career in media. So I would say, I guess, hey, giving up that home run, kind of good, because now when we get into this Barry Bonds article, he feels like he has nothing left to do in his life, where that home run for me created a part that I could still be in the sport without playing the sport.
All right, so that's the part, when you were talking about that with Sean this morning, that's the part I want to try and dig back into. And Mike, I hope you can kind of find that place without feeling uncomfortable about it, because you said that you had a depression after leaving the game, because
right.
There was a part of you that was like, I've spent my whole life wanting to be a baseball player. And I totally understand that too, because I've spent my entire last 15 years trying to get to the middays or trying to get to a big time show. And now
somewhere
I'm
between
here,
like 6A and 7P, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I've been trying to get to this spot, and then I finally got here, and I don't know, like, thank you very much. I appreciate that post. But now I'm like, okay, I've been chasing this entire time. Now what do I do that I'm not chasing that? Well, I got to reset and reevaluate goals. Barry Bonds at a time was everybody wanted a piece of Barry Bonds. And when he was great, before he was on steroids, everybody wanted a piece of him then, because he was the best baseball player you could see. Then he became the best home run hitter you could ever see while he was on steroids. Then people still wanted a piece of him because they wanted their pound of flesh. Now he says, I feel like a ghost. A ghost in a big empty house just rattling around. And then a death sentence. That's what they've given me. My heart is broken. It's really broken. Now he is a week-long guest instructor in Giants camp. His visit is kind of going along the lines of what team investors are doing and all this other stuff too, so he's there for that part of it. But Mike, hearing him say that he feels like a ghost, I know Kevin would say, and by the way, we'll get to where Kevin is tomorrow. He's undergoing some testing at the moment, so we'll get to that tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. You haven't seen him for a week.
I'm panicked. Okay. Wait. Yeah.
But when, I know Kevin would say he brought that on himself. He did the steroids. He screwed his own after his career up.
Yeah.
That's why he won't be in the Hall of Fame. That's why he won't get those votes. That's why people look at him the way that they do, because he brought that on himself. But even still, that is part of being super famous and then having a fall.
Yeah, and for him, he talks about in the article about, and he's talked about this before after he kind of either was the Miami Marlins hitting coach or after he lost the Miami Marlins hitting coach job, is that he realizes how bad he treated the media. And the media is your way to the public. And because he treated the media so bad and made them feel worthless, and I know I'm putting my own words into it, but he kind of says, like, because I treated them so bad that then I got also a bad reputation with a lot of the public. Obviously, the San Francisco area loved him because of what he was doing for the Giants, but that's really the only pocket of baseball fans that really appreciate Barry Bonds. Just for example, I hate the Lakers. Can't stand the Lakers. I really respect Magic Johnson in his career and Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant and right now what LeBron James is doing for. I won't ever root for a Lakers team unless like Dirk Nowitzki was on the Lakers. That's maybe the only way I could ever do it. But I respect the heck out of those guys and appreciate everything they did for the game. But most fans of baseball, even though they loved seeing Barry Bonds do some of the things they did, they don't respect him a lot after his career is over, and that's what really hurts Barry Bonds.
Yeah, and here's the line I think that you kind of connect with the most when you say you spent your whole life trying to get here. The Hall of Fame, and here's the quote from him, if they don't want me, just say they don't want me and be done with it. Just be done with it.
Yeah.
And that is from a person who wants desperately to be there. This is very similar to Drew Pearson, right?
Yes, and he's almost done with it because I think next year or the year after, I can't remember the exact, I think it might be next year. This is the last time for I know him and Clemens are coming up on, you can only be on the ballot, I believe, for 10 years. And if you don't make it after 10 years, you're taken off the ballot. And then years later, you can get onto that list. And it's like the Veterans Committee or whatever that can possibly put you in. So he's coming up on the time where he doesn't have to worry about it anymore if he doesn't get the amount of votes that he won't get in. But, you know, when it comes to the rest of your life, I'm going to go off here a little bit on a different way of seeing this with Barry Bonds, because I do feel bad for him that he feels that way. And I know that it can be really tough after your career is over. But he shouldn't really worry about the Hall of Fame. That is an honor. That's awesome. And to get to be in that club, that fraternity, I know it means a lot to the greatest players in their sport. But ultimately, like if you read a book from Tony Dungy or stuff, that shouldn't make or break your life. It's just an award you get for your career,
right,
and what you did.
But what's going to happen 3 months or every time they announce the guys that are potentially there? He's going to get phone calls. He's going to get requests. He's going to get everything he can for people saying, hey, what do you think? And he has to give his opinion. Now, he might not have to give his opinion.
I think that in that case, you have to be at peace with that. And I'm going to tell you, the reason I was depressed and mad, I was angry, a lot of anger during the latter part of my career because I wasn't established as a major league player. And then in 2009, I worked my butt off that offseason. And I didn't really get a job that I liked. I was not going to go to major league camp. Best case scenario, my buddy Ross Atkins, who's the general manager now, the Toronto Blue Jays, who I played with, he was at the time with the Indians, and he said, "I'll bring you into minor league camp. I'll get you your innings in AAA in the minor leagues, but I'm going to release you at the end of it because I don't have a spot for you unless we have a whole bunch of injuries." And Mike, just being honest with you, because we're buddies, that was one of my offers. My other offer, which we never even talked about money, was the Marlins said, "We'll bring you into minor league camp and we'll start you off in AA." And I hadn't been in AA for 7-8 years. And I just didn't want to go back to AA and be a guy who's a veteran guy bouncing back and forth between AA and AAA with a family, making probably with the Marlins, who were a cheaper organization, $6,000 to $8,000 a month for a 5 month period doing that while I had opportunities to possibly do media here. But where I'm going with is this, and I think this is important, is how did I get rid of, and maybe people listening are like, I don't think you're away from your anger. And I still deal with anger at times. But the way that I became at peace with it is I do believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And I realized not during the time I played and immediately after I was done playing, God didn't give me the gift to be unbelievable at baseball, great at sports, just to be good at sports. It was a gift that God gave me to further his kingdom and to have a relationship with him and to use my gifts that he's given me. Like, obviously, I don't have a great gift in English. I don't have a gift in writing. When our boss is like, hey, we want you to write more on 105.3 The Fan, I'm like, I am horrible at that. I know that's not a gift that I have. I could work at it and become better at it, but it's not something that God gave me. God did give me this gift to be great at baseball. And it wasn't just to be great at baseball. God gave Barry Bonds even more gifts when it comes to the game of baseball. But you can use those gifts in other ways, you know, whether it's praying about it, meditating on it, however, and I don't want to get too religious. I know I get in trouble for being too religious at times while I'm talking about stuff like this, because it is my belief that God gave me these gifts, is that you have to use those as your career is over in playing the sport. It doesn't mean that God's gift is over. It's over in playing it, but it doesn't mean it's over in using that to further his kingdom, to show your love for the game of the sport that you played, for the love that he's given you. Right. And so, yeah, mentor others.
Look at Kobe and what Kobe was doing. Even if it wasn't connected to God, it was
right.
It was still, I want to try and help others grow.
And I just think that it's tough to explain, because it's this thing that eventually I realized that I was putting sports ahead of God and not God ahead of sports. And look, it's public. You can go Google me and find out all the bad things that I've done in my life. I am no saint. I am not somebody that you want to emulate with things that I've done in my life. There are certain things that I am proud of and certain things that I'm disgusted with myself that I've done in my life. But I would just say that some of those things is because I put sports ahead of my true Lord and Savior.
Okay.
And so I would say with somebody like Barry Bonds, and I don't know Barry Bonds well. I've talked to Barry Bonds a few times after giving up the home run with him. But I would just hope and pray that he realizes that you still have that gift. It's just not going to be used on the baseball field anymore, that you need to find your purpose in life. And God gave you more than just being a good baseball player.
That part of that, and I imagine that most of your conversation is, hey, you know, how nice was that pitch for you whenever it was time for you to hit that home run? I that's what I imagine. Y'all joke about that a lot. But here's the other part. So let's say some people have a different perspective on what their purpose is.
Right.
He feels like he still has a connection to baseball, and he wants to be connected to the game. Yeah. And I think that being connected to baseball, a lot of people say, or whatever it is, yeah. Well, if you can't do, teach.
Yeah.
And so he's tried to become a hitting instructor.
Right.
And now there's different, I mean, he was the best at it. So yeah. If I tell you to do something, you should just be able to do what I'm telling you to do. But now there's so much new information. That's what he says. He says, I'm new at it right now. Information is information. I mean, you can't get enough of it. If you can utilize it with your tools, then why not? But you don't want to be a robot either. So what they're doing to me is fine. I'm not playing anymore. So I look at it. I don't understand half of it, but I do get it. I'm still trying to get the same promised land. It's just going to be about a different way.
Right.
But he's not a good hitting instructor.
Right.
And like the Marlins organization, he wasn't good there.
Right.
So that's gotta be a kick to the jump.
It is. And maybe, and I think that he just has to be at peace with maybe his second part of his life. He's 55 years old. So whether he has 20 years left, 5 years left, 40 years left is okay. His gift is baseball. Well, like Mercer Street, I believe it's called, on Hampton, the place, the facility that Clayton Kershaw and Derek Holland donated to, and yeah. The Rangers did a lot, and Major League Baseball has been out there. Like, for Barry Bonds, he made a lot of money playing baseball. And I'm not saying you just have to have money to make an impact on things, but he does. He does have that gift of money through playing the sport that he was so great at. Is maybe he can start something like that in the San Francisco area or wherever it is. And so, yes, you're not working with professionals. You might not even be working with what are considered great baseball kids as players, but there's other ways that he can have a joy of baseball without it being on a major league level. But I don't know his heart. I don't know where he's going.
You suggest to athletes that are playing and listening right now? I know there are guys that play for the Rangers. I know there are guys that play for the Cowboys right. That listen to this station during their career to find something they care about so that it can help make that transition afterwards.
It does help.
Because Roger Staubach went into a billion, multi-million dollar corporation that he owned right afterwards.
And what is tough for players, and this is just the truth, is most of us don't make enough money to never do anything and just enjoy whatever we want to do, right? There are certain people that do, but a lot of us, you know, if we're lucky, for me, you know, I never made seven figures in a career. I barely made seven figures in my 13 years of playing baseball. But, you know, there's taxes. There's a lot of things that go into 13 years. That's not tons of money. Is you have to do something else after. But when you're done playing, for me at 30, 31 years old, you're entering possibly a marketplace wherever you want to do that next thing. And there's 21 to 23 year olds who just graduated college who are like, you know what? I will take that job for $30,000 to work my way up. Where when you're that age, if you're like, man, I have a wife and I have two kids and I have a house is $450,000 that I bought and my payments are $4,000 a month on that house. And that's not including all the other things that come with paying your bills. I can't take a $30,000 job. And so then you become depressed because you won't accept a job at that rate because you're entering the workforce really, even though you're 30, 31 with a family and everything, you're entering the workforce as they see you as more as a 21, 22, 23-year-old that's going to have to work their way up.
It makes you feel like you don't have any value. Right. That's fascinating,
Mike. And so that's tough.
That is very tough. I can't imagine what you had to go through. But I'm glad you're here today, Mike. That's a lot of fun, man, because it's a lot of fun to talk sports with you, man. All right, by the way, just saw the Boston St. Patrick's Day. The South Boston St. Patrick's Day Parade has been canceled.
Why?
Due to the fear of coronavirus. In Syracuse will continue to go on. Just wash your hands.
I'm going
to
keep panicking.
Just keep being clean. All right. Good hygiene is the key to this. We're going to be just fine. Coming up next, Mike has helped us figure out what sport Kyrie Irving needs to play because it ain't basketball, homie. Next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Mike Bassick, and Shippy in studio. I'm not saying what's going on with Kevin? I just think it's a little curious that he just got off an airplane and now he is quarantining himself for the next couple weeks or so.
Yeah.
So that's all. I'm not saying I don't know anything yet, but I'm trying to confirm some information about Kevin Hagelin.
And he did text me about a rash.
Yeah, so there you go.
I don't know if that's a symptom of corona.
I think that's just Kevin. Tweet him at @OhThankKevin to see how he's doing. Now, Mike, we're going to get to this Kyrie Irving thing in just a second, but you were just telling me that the clubhouses are closing off media. Media is not allowed to come into the clubhouses. That's interesting because all the players are allowed to come in. But I understand what they're doing there because you can kind of control what the players do by telling them, hey, we need you to do this.
Yeah.
The interesting part is, like, G-Bag Nation is there.
Right.
And the interview process, it's a lot easier whenever you sit down face-to-face with somebody and talk to them. Because it makes the interviews a lot more fun. They can tell if you're joking. Just as humans,
right,
it's a lot easier to interact that way.
Body language tells a lot.
But and Ken Rosenthal is saying, if we're not allowed access to the clubhouses, then it's going to hurt the game. The Rangers and 105.3 The Fan are already ahead of the game. The Rangers and 105.3 The Fan, and I understand because some of the off-record access is really good for the media. But the Rangers and 105.3 The Fan have a headset placed down in the lock in the clubhouse so that we can continue to do interviews from afar. Now, it's not face-to-face, but we can at least have those conversations with those guys. And we had, how many did we do? Two or three interviews just like that while we were there. So G-Bag Nation will continue to bring you interviews with players and managers and everything. It's just going to be a little bit different. But that's
I'll see you in Oxnard, sir.
Well, we'll also be in Oxnard too. But I think the game could benefit if they start opening different avenues of being able to allow access rather than limiting. And what I say is, when we talked about mic'd up Chris Bryant, mic'd up this, mic'd up that, those are other ways that I think MLB will help their game.
It's going to be interesting to see. You know, I'll kind of discuss this a little bit more in nuggets, but the Writers Association is very concerned about what's happening right now.
Obviously, that makes a lot of sense. So we'll get into that in just a little bit in Baseball Nuggets coming up at 12:40. But there's a guy who is considered a coach killer, a culture killer. He just couldn't connect with his coach. His teammates don't like him, and he's moved from three different teams now, and he's in Brooklyn, and everybody there, his coach even quit. His coach was like, I can't connect with these guys.
Kenny Atkinson quit pretty much. It was mutual that he's like, I just am not getting through to these guys. But everybody around the NBA is reading into he just can't get through to one guy.
One particular player.
That's on his team right now that's playing.
And I think, would you like to have Kyrie Irving on your basketball
team?
It's
funny. Before this even happened, before 3 days ago, Kenny Atkinson resigned, mutual agreement, whatever you want to say, but pretty much quit because he's like, I can't stand coaching Kyrie Irving and he's not responding to anything I say. Is last week, Sandler and I, we had kind of the same place we were staying at, and we were shooting pool and we were talking about basketball and we're talking about Kyrie Irving. And I brought it up to him because I've asked this question on G-Bag Nation, and it's interesting. I'd love to hear Gavin's thoughts now that a coach quit because of him, because I know that Gavin Dawson would love to take Kyrie Irving if it was for nothing. Like, if you could just have Kyrie Irving, you have to take his contract, this huge contract, but he'd love to have Kyrie Irving on this team. And I said I wouldn't, and talking to Sandler, this was last week, is how bad Brooklyn plays when Kyrie's on the court and how much better they are when he was off the court. Me and him came to the that we wouldn't even want Kyrie Irving. If the Brooklyn Nets would have said, you know what? We don't care what you think, Kevin Durant. This guy's cancer. We're getting rid of him. We don't want him, and we're giving him away to anybody who wants him.
You wouldn't even take him.
I wouldn't take him.
All because of personality or because of on-court?
Both. But I just
what does he do poorly on the court?
Well, he ticks off his other players because he's like, I'm not passing to you.
Okay.
It's the Kyrie Irving show, guys.
So it's Carmelo Anthony isolation. I'm just going to be my game.
I think even worse, because at least when you talk to people that played with Carmelo Anthony, if you talk to our guy, Kristaps Porzingis, and you say, hey, how is it playing with Carmelo Anthony? He's not going to say it was miserable and it was horrible. What he'll say is it was miserable and horrible playing in the Knicks organization. He won't say negative things about Carmelo Anthony. So a lot of the players on the Knicks that played with Carmelo will say, ultimately, we weren't successful. He was our star player. But Carmelo as a person, I wasn't tired of him as a person. It just wasn't working out chemistry-wise with the coach, with Carmelo, with us as the role players. It didn't work out. But when you hear from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, you'll hear from Boston Celtics that were like, we were sick of this guy. We hated playing with him. We're a better team without him. And he had to come back and play the next year because he was healthy. And it's just like, we could. And then he talks trash about us in the media. He won't listen to our coach. He diverts from what the coach wants and just does what he thinks is right. Al Horford tried to be the glue to try to help out the situation as the veteran all-star guy. And Al couldn't get through to Kyrie to be part of the team and to stop being the Kyrie Irvings and to try to be the Boston Celtics, because they had enough talent last year to do better things, but Kyrie refused for that to happen.
From the 972, Kyrie Irving and LeBron James are coach killers, but I think the difference is LeBron James can get teams to play with him.
Right. So Kyrie
understands. I loved Dirk's, and I guess it was Holger's philosophy, that basketball is jazz because everybody's doing different stuff, but it's all to make one thing happen.
Yeah.
I think LeBron sees that too. I think Kyrie's biggest problem was playing with LeBron and not being the guy. And then now he's trying to prove that he is the guy, or he wants to do it his way or whatever it is, but he doesn't understand the sense of team responsibility.
Yeah, if he wouldn't have hit that shot, the tough thing is he is a champion.
Yeah.
So I think people that are big Kyrie Irving fans would say, like, look, he is a champ. He hit the big shot over Steph Curry to win a championship, and that's factually true. He's a champion, and he hit a big shot to win a championship. But besides that, when he had to run the team on his own in Cleveland, they were the worst team in basketball. That's how they ended up with Andrew Wiggins to then trade him to Minnesota to get Kevin Love. And then when LeBron came there, they became a championship team again. They became a contender. When he went to the Boston Celtics, they had one of the best situations in all the NBA, and he made it worse. Now he's gone to Brooklyn. That coach, Kenny Atkinson, he took a bunch of nobodies last year. When you look at Brooklyn's roster, and they made the playoffs. Not only did they make the playoffs, they had like a way better record than anybody could imagine they had. This year, Ken Atkinson, without Kyrie Irving, they're a better team without him. When he shows up on the court, he immediately starts blaming his teammates and saying that, oh, they're not good enough and we need to get better players. And then Kyrie Irving goes off the court and they become better players. And so it is now, to me, it's my opinion, but I think it's pretty factual. Kyrie Irving on your team is a killer. He is a cancer and he will ruin it. His teammates don't like playing with him. Coaches don't like coaching him. And he doesn't lead you to victories. He has to have LeBron James. In fact, if he has a young Jason Tatum and a young Jaylen Brown who took a team to the Eastern Conference Finals, he will make them worse by adding Kyrie Irving to the mix.
I'm curious, though. So you're saying that he is not a good team player?
Horrible team player. Maybe the worst we've seen in a long time. Another guy that is brought up to mind, and this is when I was a kid, is Adrian Dantley. The Pistons had a really good team, couldn't get past the Boston Celtics. It was Isaiah Thomas's team. Adrian Dantley refused for it to be that team. He threw a fit, and finally, Daly, the head coach, is like, we have to get rid of him. He is too much of a killer of our team because he wants it to be about Adrian Dantley and not about winning a championship. And they traded him to Dallas for Mark Aguirre. And it all ended up working out great for Detroit because they got rid of the huge cancer on that team.
877-881-1053. He's playing a team sport. He probably shouldn't be. All right? So here's what we're trying to figure out. Yeah. Mike, what sport, and I do want to know, have you ever coached, and you don't have to give any names or any specific examples, have you ever coached a kid that you couldn't coach and said, well, he's just not going to play baseball?
Yes. And he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't do anything that was being said. He would get physical with the other kids on the team. And so, I mean, that's extreme, right? I mean, that's a kid, right? That's a 7-8-year-old kid. And hopefully, you know, that kid ends up getting out of that. But it's like, I can't do it anymore. I've tried. And he was getting kicked off of other teams, other sports, other things. So like there has been a few, and then there's some that I'm just like, I can't get them to try. I just can't get them to try hard, whether they're nervous in competition or whatever. So, yes, I've had kids that I've just said, hey, I'm not the right guy. I blame partially myself for this because I'm not good enough to get this kid to try or to be part of the team or whatever. So,
all right,
yes.
So should Kyrie Irving be playing basketball?
Because you told me the other day, it's obviously what he's great at, but his personality, the way he is, he should be a pitcher in baseball. If you're going to play a team sport.
Really?
Is that a pitcher in baseball really just has his day. He does have to communicate with the pitcher, with the catcher. But besides that, you can really be an individual. You can, as a coach, you can be like, look, obviously I don't need to coach you. You're doing just fine on your own. And I would like for you to do these things. I think I could make you better. But you know what? If this is the way it's going to be, and you're still going to, because Kyrie Irving puts up good numbers. So individually as a pitcher, if you're going to put up good numbers, if you're going to have a good ERA, if you're going to give us a chance to win because you really don't affect the other players on the field, you're just on a one-on-one situation against the hitter, and that's all Kyrie Irving is good at is one-on-one situations and everything else he's miserable at, then in a team sport, he could be a pitcher. Besides that, golf, tennis, and not doubles, but just like anything that is into bowling, but he can't be part of a team and be a successful guy. And that being said, I get it. I know that he has a championship under
football?
His belt. I don't think so. I think he'd be horrible as a football teammate.
What about quarterback?
I think he'd be even worse as a quarterback.
Because he'd just take off running? Or
His ego
would be
the coach
too
would
much?
Call in a play. He'd be like, we're not doing that play. We're doing my play.
Okay.
And so,
does Harden do it?
I think Harden's not a bad teammate.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bad teammate.
I think he is.
Okay.
But some guys seem to like him, and they hated Chris Paul, but I wonder if it is Harden that's kind of the problem. But
I joke about Harden, but I think it's more of like a Rondo mentality.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? Because that's what happened here.
Yeah, I think we would have a Rondo situation, except maybe even a little bit worse attitude, and he'd be taking the ball away from Luka. And Porzingis, so we'd be like, man, we're like the best thing that ever happened this year to Tatum and Brown, and I think they have a chance to go to the NBA championship this year, the Celtics, and upset Milwaukee is because those guys don't have the cancer with them ruining it.
So from the 469, Kyrie is the Trevor Bauer of the NBA.
He might be.
But yeah. Trevor Bauer's a pitcher, so it's perfect for
right.
him.
Yeah, when you said that, when you made that comparison, that's the first person I thought of was Trevor Bauer.
There is a guy, Brett Myers, who pitched for Philadelphia and Boston later in his career. And
Brett Maher.
He was in spring training with me. I was with the Phillies, and I ended up not making the team, but I was there doing some stuff with Billy Wagner, and I asked Billy because, you know, he was one of the leaders of the team, and Brett Myers was off doing his own thing, not being part of the team at all, not doing our drills or anything. And it was like the third or fourth day in a row, and this was only like day 10, let's say, of spring training, and Billy's like, we gave up on him a long time ago. We just let him do whatever he wants. We've tried hard to get him to be part of the team, to include him, to make sure he knows that these are things that teammates do. These are sacrifices that you need to make. You have to be part of the group. And he just kept not being part of the group. And Billy was like, we're done with him. We just let him do whatever he wants to do and ignore him. He's going to pitch every fifth day. He's good. He's going to give us a chance to win. But he's not a Philly. He's not on our team. He just pitches every fifth day and does his thing. And we just ignore him.
Wow.
So you can do that as a teammate with a pitcher.
But nothing else.
You can't
else.
Do that in basketball. You can't do it in football.
Especially if the dude's the point guard.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we got Gridiron Gravy, the trade that never was on 105.3 The Fan. We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Mike Bassick's in studio with me, Corey Majors, and my good friend Shippy over there making sure we sound good inside of your ear holes. It's time
hey,
to
Corey.
Go around. Thank you, Shippy, for talking with me. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some Gridiron Gravy. And we start with the training camp situation for the Dallas Cowboys. You can see the story out there on the interwebs. The Cowboys.
I'll see you in Oxnard, sir.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers will kick off the preseason on Thursday, August 6th at 7 p.m. Central Time in Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame game, Mike.
I think this is huge, not for the game. Don't care at all about it.
Wow.
But
that's why you like sports. Jeez,
dude. Mike McCarthy gets an extra week. I think it's huge for a new coach that when you get this game, it doesn't really matter about the preseason game. But what matters is they allow you to go to training camp a little bit earlier than the 30 other teams. So Pittsburgh, they have the same coach coming back. Ben Roethlisberger knows the system. It's not like, to me, it's not a big deal for Pittsburgh. It's a big deal for the Cowboys to get that extra week. Now, that being said, Corey, will Dak Prescott be part of the Hall of Fame game? I know he wouldn't play in it. Will he even be on the sideline for the Dallas Cowboys? Will they have a contract done by the time we go to Oxnard?
No, I think whatever the deadline is for signing or negotiating a long-term deal for franchise tag person.
Okay.
I think we're going to go right up to that moment.
I think that is actually a hair before training
right.
camp
yeah,
starts.
Yeah, it's so right. It's like July 25th okay. or something. Right. So I think we're going to be right up to that point.
Okay.
But that's just because that's how I feel the Cowboys do business. I really do think because of what happened yesterday when we heard they've submitted a new contract, I think that is them showing we want to go ahead and try and get this done before. It might even be a little part of the process of trying to ease some of the concerns for the new CBA on some players too. Hey, let's try and get this done. Everything's fine. We're just trying to get all of our business taken care of before we go on our vacation that Mike's always talking about for them. But I think that we have a long wait because I don't think that Dak Prescott's people want to sign a deal until the new CBA is confirmed and what they're doing. So that's how I feel about that. But I think the Cowboys really do want to get something done. For me, and I think you're dead on too about Coach McCarthy, he wants, you know, I've been fascinated by the amount of people that said or have said they haven't talked to him. Because Amari Cooper was on the other night with the nosebleed seats. By the way, We continue to work even after 7 o'clock here on 105.3 The Fan because sports news breaks then too. And that's one of the things I love about this station. We're always pushing hard. But Amari Cooper said he hasn't really had that many conversations with Mike McCarthy. He hasn't really talked to him. And it sounds like Mike McCarthy just hasn't really talked to anybody yet. And that's interesting to me because I like it. Because I want a coach that isn't like best friends with all the players.
Doesn't go to Duke games with
them. Yeah, doesn't go to Duke games with them. I want a coach that's their coach.
I would love my coach to take me to Duke game.
That commands some real respect from the guys and has a little fear. And we heard, Mike, last year, the three things that the new coach needed to do, one of them was establish fear and discipline in the organization amongst the players because guys were showing up late, guys were just kind of doing whatever they wanted. I think that it's important for Mike McCarthy to have all the players at an arm's distance, and I think that extra week of practice will give him that opportunity to continue to grow some of the discipline and fear that he needs to establish with those guys.
Yeah, and the hope is for the 2020 Cowboys season that it was all coaching that led to 8-8, and now all coaching will lead to 12-4.
I don't think that's the case. I do think sometimes when a new boss comes into a place that people start minding their P's and Q's a little more and start paying attention to some of the details because they're afraid of losing their job. So I don't think it's just coaching, but I think a lot of the talent started feeling like they were well paid and they're just kind of hanging out.
All I know is that's a rivalry game. So you can throw out the record books. You know, it doesn't matter on paper who's got the better team. They really have to fight.
Well, it's a preseason game, Shippy, so it's not really that big of a
deal.
Those
translate to preseason, though.
No.
Sometimes it gets canceled because the field's not ready to play, so they're like, we're just going to have the Hall of Fame.
The paint on the field was like concrete in the end zones.
Well, I actually remember when I was with the Cowboys drumline with Texans game, like Texans fans were talking trash to us on the way out of a preseason game that they beat us.
Really?
I was like, dude, I couldn't name like two people that were out there.
Unlike the most franchise quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers is involved with the NFL Players Association as his team's representative. Not a lot of quarterbacks do that. Actually, I don't think any other ones do. But Aaron Rodgers, who has been very vocal regarding his opposition to the new CBA, did not show up for the ongoing NFLPA meetings in Florida. Rodgers isn't there, and because Green Bay's sole alternate rep, Mason Crosby, also isn't there, the Packers have no vote in any of the various matters on which the board of or player representatives has been and will be voting on.
Dang.
So because he didn't show up, now I don't think that's the appropriate way, but should that be a no vote or can you vote from afar? Can't you Skype it or something?
With today's technology, I guess you could.
I have to sit here in a meeting so that I can during my vacation time so that you guys can.
Well, it's part of being a player rep. I mean, if you want that responsibility, there's going to be, you know, that responsibility is there's going to be meetings. And usually they're scheduled way in advance. I don't think that this was scheduled 3 days ago and he's like, I can't be there.
Right.
It was probably scheduled a month or 2 months ago so that they'd have an idea of where they needed to be and when.
The Cowboys have brought back center Adam
Travis
Redman.
Frederick.
Travis Frederick, Mike. Adam Redman is coming back to the Cowboys. How do you feel about that?
Don't care.
Okay, all right, because he's a backup guy.
Yeah. Help me out here.
He's a center from Harvard. He's been with the Cowboys since 2018.
Are we losing? Why am I drawing a blank in my head? Our backup center guard that had to play center.
Joe Looney?
Yeah, is Looney gone?
No, I don't know. I don't think that he is yet. Well, actually, I think his contract situation actually does put him in that.
Not that I'm like, all right, well, we got Adam Redmond. We do need a backup center if Looney is moving on. So it is something that the Cowboys probably need to cover before the draft starts. But, yeah, I don't. Yeah, like Michael Irvin says, block for 3 seconds and you get $300 million.
Are you serious? I love it. That's a great idea. I should have been better at blocking. Instead, I wanted to be a pass-catching tight end my whole career. Joe Looney is done with the Cowboys. Okay. He's unrestricted free agent this offseason. In addition to that, Ravens guard Marshall Yanda has decided to retire from the NFL. Played 13 seasons in the NFL. He's 35 right now. He had a team that had some awesome rushing statistics, and he was an 8-time Pro Bowler. So that is that's a little nugget right there for the Ravens guard. Now, here's the thing, though, that's interesting to me about the players' vote. A lot of players want to change their vote from what they originally had.
Too bad, they said, right?
Yeah. I'm fascinated by this because they said, well, you already voted, so you can't change it now. That seems, and I think it's more than 1,000 players have already voted. That seems unfair, but at the same time, that's part of the process, right? You should have paid attention to what you were voting about beforehand. You don't get to change your vote afterwards.
Yeah. And I just assume that they want to change their vote to no.
But it's fascinating,
and
too.
They can't.
It's fascinating, too, to hear that the organization, if it goes past, if it gets to a no vote in the executive committee, it should have never gotten to the players in the first place, but here we are. So that's weird to me also, and I wonder if there can be some sort of, if they can go back and say, hey, we are interested in suing you now that this is the situation.
Can you find a friend on your team or somebody you went to college with that's also in the NFL and say, have you voted yet? And if they said, no, I haven't voted, and you said, here's the deal. I voted yes, and I screwed up, and I wanted to vote no. I don't know which way you're voting yet, but can you vote no for me if you don't care and you're deciding because I need my vote to be a no?
That's why I vote in pencil.
Yeah, vote in pencil so you can erase it, Mike.
Hey, can I get my Scantron back?
And probably, what if the reason that people are throwing off on here is because they were just following it through Twitter and they saw Jordan Lewis say, hurry up, you only have 40 minutes left.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys hurried up and put their vote in.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
Because
by
of
him.
Jordan Lewis. And now they're like, wait, I had more than 40 minutes. I actually had almost 40 days.
I like this from the 817. Hey, if you hook up with an ugly chick, you can't change your mind about it later. You still hooked up with her. And then from the 972, can't change your vote in the presidential election. Why would it be any different? Politics. Sorry about
all
that.
All right, Mike off.
My bad. And last but not least, the Al Michaels trade that never was, Mike.
Oh, well.
It was, oh, well, what do you mean? This could have been the biggest thing in a long time. Chris Collinsworth might not have a job because Al Michaels left him, but there was going to be a trade, and Al Michaels and Peyton Manning would have been the team for Monday Night Football, and that would have been awesome for
Al
me.
Al pumped his test right now.
He's probably
like, still got it.
At least for now.
Him and Boog are feeling confident about their career at Monday Night Football?
No. They've been trying to replace him with everybody. All right, coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, what do the players think? If Amari's not the dude and Jones kind of is that dude, what do the players think if they're seeing who gets signed? We'll do that next on 105.3 The Fan. But first, if you found yourself in a situation where you have lots of debt and it's creeping up on you and you're looking around going, okay, I might have to foreclose on this house. Repossession. They're going to take my car away. And you think there's no way out. You need to pick up the phone and call Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He's been helping people just like us, just like you, just like me, get back on a path to financial freedom for nearly three decades, and he can help you right now. Don't let pride get in the way. Don't sit back and say, I can do this all on my own, because sometimes you just need some help. Sometimes people need some help and need some advice. I mean, we see this all the time. If you call Mark Rubin, a lawyer, at 1-800-LAWYERS, this is a good choice. This is the good choice that's going to help you get back on the path to financial freedom. If the endless phone calls from credit card companies and debt collection agencies just aren't going to stop, because they won't. They won't unless you, and you can't just ignore them. They're not going to go away. Your debt's not going to go away all on its own. One call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS, though, that can end all of it. Don't talk to an out-of-state debt consolidation firm. Talk to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He's a passionate sports fan, just like you and me. He's always hanging around our events. That's one of the reasons we love Mark. Call him now, 1-800-LAWYERS or DallasTexasLegal.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.